Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Jenny Wren. I've been a festival booker for over 15 years, mom of two, four if you count the dogs. I've buried my sister and my parents, partied like it was 1999 for over 20 years, modeled for 5 minutes, worn far too many accessories and not enough self-care. I've had breast cancer and epiphanies. Safe to say, she's been around. You're listening to Hindsight Conversations, where my guests are invited to bring to the table what it is they want to discuss, feel ready to share from where they are in their lives. We meet it together with no agenda. No topic is off limits, from the frivolous to the profound, the gnarly to the joyful, painful to the practical. Red flag moments you can only see when looking back, but looking back to move forward. Join me weekly where we explore the 2020 vision of hindsight. Everyone has it. This week we speak to Rowan McDonough, Festival Technical Production Manager, recovering addict, childhood trauma survivor. 25 years experience in the live music industry and mental health advocate via cowshedlive.com, which offers podcasts on all aspects of mental health as well as 24/7 peer-to-peer support through their Facebook page. Also a complete legend and apparently a champion of drinking water.
I think a career, for me anyway, defines a huge amount of who I am. I find a lot of, you know, a lot of my pride, a lot of my self-worth and stuff would be in my job and doing it well, you know, because it's such an intensive thing that we do, you know, more so than, you know, I can't speak to people who work at the bank, but I bet anyone comes home and goes, you know what, I've been really well at the counter of the bank today. I nailed pushing that same button 30 times. I think it's been a year of not having work. It's been a year where I think we've all, certainly anyone that I've talked to, has realized how important our work was in terms of connecting to people and talking, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't really do, especially with festivals and stuff like that, you're living with people and everyone knows everyone's faults and stuff, but it's just toleration but up and, you know, you're just supporting each other and you don't really realize, oh, they're actually a really good friend.
Yeah. I had a moment in hindsight, and it was the date of Body and Soul over the summer. And it's not that I had begun at all to lose love for the festival or what I did, but every now and then I used to get a bit like, am I just off on some egocentric, like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? And it wasn't until that date, and I was looking back at some of the videos, and you realized, oh my God, we really were hosting a great big party for people to come together in a safe space and a beautiful and inclusive environment where you could put on your party wings and fly free, you know? And it redefined for me the worth, actually. Yeah.
The the worth for you or the worth of the work?
The worth for me and the worth of the work as a whole thing.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, your role would have been a very different one, you know, because you're kind of, you're always curating and booking and creating this kind of soundscape that would happen as people moved around, you know.
But that only worked because the rest of it worked. I always felt we were absolutely, well, any good festival, we're the sum of our parts.
This, yeah, 100%.
I could bring down the biggest and most amazing bands in the world, but if the sound was crap, if our stages weren't working, if the site looked awful, sure, what good would that be? Like, the whole thing had to sing together.
Yeah.
So as a whole, I really saw that the worth of it all and what it, you know, listening to people's stories and who they met and what they did, you're like, oh my God, yeah, it actually, you know, was a beautiful thing in many respects.
Amazing thing.
Yeah.
It's amazing looking back in hindsight to say, I did 3 years of audience, so the first year I really was kind of like, finding my feet. Yeah, I don't think I ever found my feet. I remember you're never meant to find your feet, you know.
Yeah.
So you're sitting there going, everything's fine, everything's great. You're like, oh no. that's not a good thing. But it's amazing. Because I always think, oh, June, I did Body and Soul. But then you forget the months and months and months in the office before that and seeing... meeting, you know, four people like yourself, you know, the other Avril and Megan and stuff like that, and there'll be four or five people, and then as it blossoms and rolls in, it gathers more moss, and then suddenly you're 1,000 people or, you know, a couple of hundred people trying to create this village, and then you do it and it goes and takes down, and then the team whittles back down again and then starts revving up again, and you forget how much of I look back and go, well, I was actually, you know, working solidly nearly all the time, and you know, it's, I think as a freelancer you kind of go, well, I was working Saturday and I was working Tuesday and they're my 2 days of work, but then you look back, and I've been looking back, God, you know, there was loads of other little moments that I'd forgotten about, you know. You hear them back from other people, oh, do you remember that time we did this, and you're like, oh yeah that was amazing, you know. Yeah, I don't think give ourselves enough credit.
No, probably not. And it wasn't just obviously the festival, you know, there was Body and Soul a Picnic and Solace, you know, yeah. You were over in England. And as you say, the months in advance of work and meetings and that always amused me that it starts off with like a few people and then the next thing that's
incredible,
like
just
family. And then you forget that there's actual then people coming to the festival, like that always used to amuse me. It's like, what are they doing? Why are they pitching tents? Oh yeah, they're coming for them. I'd forgotten about the people coming to the festival.
They walk.
You know, that always used to crack me up when one of the production offices was in the old golf thing and you could see them pitching right over there. It used to really like, oh yeah, I'd forgotten that there was a whole 10,000 people about to come on site. And when I emailed you about the concept, or just hindsight in general, has your brain, did it stay with work or what came up for you?
I mean, like, for me, I suppose there's lots been going on for me. I mean, obviously, as most people know, I've bipolar, quite severe bipolar. I have mental health issues. I've had addiction issues. And I suppose they've all been mingled with work. You know, so it's all kind of wrapped up in one for me. You know, I mean, at the minute I'm doing really well. Things have been really good, in the last kind of half a year. but I suppose, you know, without the rose tinted glasses, looking back, I definitely see how my approach to work and my my inability to really mind me and get lost in trying to mind others or looking, making sure that I was looking stable, you know, that way. Not that I ever had a major breakdown on site or that, but there was times where I knew I was really struggling and didn't feel I could put up my hand.
Okay.
You know, and that's not to say that I didn't feel there was a culture that I couldn't put up my hand, because there most definitely was, very much so, Body and Soul, you know. when I look back, how I wasn't managing myself in those situations. Mm-hmm. That I've taken a lot of learning from. You know,
yeah.
I don't think I'd ever go back to, a lot of my background was freelance videoing, video tech. I don't think I'd ever go back to that. Six in the morning, you know, driving to Dublin, build, gig, derig, 4 in the morning, you know, I don't think I'd ever go back to that because it's just not healthy for me. You know, it's not healthy for me. So in many ways, the year off has been really, off work has been, it's been very insightful to me as to how I approach work. I've discovered that I'm a terrible procrastinator.
Amen, sister. Amen.
No, I really am. I'm like, you know what? You don't have any work. You've got nothing on. You just got to cut the grass. Just cut the grass. The grass is still uncut, you know. But without having to, when I look back, definitely in how I mismanaged myself and how I could have possibly had a better account of myself, but not to punish myself. You know, I'm not punishing myself. I think, when I'm good, I'm really good. But when I'm bad, I don't go, look, you know what, I'm actually, there's many times I should have said, I'm struggling here. I need to just stand off for a little bit. And I didn't, you know, essentially a lot of it's kind of people pleasing, I suppose, which would be something I'd be, if I'm to be truthful, would be something I'd be guilty of, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are.
Yeah, and maybe it's because there still is a stigma towards mental health. You know, that's just, it just exists. So maybe it's kind of me getting ahead of myself or putting myself in the way of myself from getting help, you know? Mm.
And it can be uncomfortable. I mean, even without the stigma of mental health or the fact that you were, you know, beginning to feel unwell, it can be, I have found it very uncomfortable over the years to go, I'm actually, or I don't understand that, or I don't feel too good about this, or I need time. You don't want to be the whiner. You don't want to be, no. You know, it's almost easier to carry the 2-ton weight and plow on, but in hindsight for me as well, I realize, oh no, that's not very healthy.
Yeah, no, it's not. And it's harder to put the hand up. And again, I don't think it was anything to do with the culture. I think there were such strong-willed and talented people on that team. And it's not just body and soul, you know, plus a lot of other things that you didn't want to be the one holding people back. Do you know that way? And so you feel, I'll just carry on. And then suddenly you're trying to catch up at night, so your sleep's not right, you know. And all, I think it just spirals out, you know. And I think there's definitely for me, it's been a huge learning curve looking back. And like you said at the start, hindsight, like, as much as they say, well, the past is the past, I always try and keep an eye on it. I kind of keep it behind my shoulder because it's a good reference point, you know, of me kind of going, well, look, hold on, here are the signs again. You know, you need to address this now. You need to take time out. And I'm not very good at taking time out for myself, even when I'm here and I have nothing to do. I'm, you know, I'm kind of like, well, what to tell you? Well, I go out. I know I should be going out. And I'm kind of like, you don't need to do that. You're tired. You haven't slept well. Go and have a nap. It'll be better. Oh, no, I can't have a nap. I have to get up. I have to walk the dogs and stuff. I think we still put pressure on ourselves to be doing or being seen to be doing, even if it's showing ourselves, well, you're doing this, which is mad. Like, it's crazy, you know?
It is. Yeah, it is. But I agree with you in the, you know, obviously there's many phrases and sayings around, oh, leave the past behind, etc. But the past has clues. For me, the past has held huge clues. And they are helping me, you know, put the jigsaw pieces together to create a more full picture and understanding of some of my patterns of behavior or things I was doing or the reasons why. So I find hindsight useful in that respect because you can just link things up and or pass on, you know, when I look at some stuff now, I realize that was a red flag. That was something that should have been looked at. And if I can let somebody else know if that comes up for you, maybe consider X, Y, or Z, you know?
Yeah, I think that's really important is practicing talking to people truthfully. I don't mean you wouldn't be speaking the truth, but I suppose to practice being open to talking to people or reaching out for help, or to see the signs and ask someone else. You know, I have the Couch Head, which is a mental health kind of peer support group, but it's you see kind of people, they're still, there's people are afraid to talk and say, you know what, I'm not okay. You know, I'm not feeling great. I can't do that. I don't think this is good for me. And then on the flip side of that, you find that people are afraid to ask because they're too embarrassed to ask. You know, people are embarrassed to ask, are you okay, man? You know, are you actually all right? I don't think you are. I've been through something like this, you know. So I do think there needs to be a culture shift in that. Now, it is happening. You can see it happening a lot in all aspects, all over the news and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think they just recently appointed a minister for mental health. Maybe it's not a ministerial post, but there's lots of times like I can look back in hindsight and say, yeah, like you said, that was a flag. You know, mm-hmm. That's when I should have went, okay, things are unsettled, things are not right. Not 3 weeks later when it was then a crisis.
When did you start the Couch Shed?
We started, myself and my ex Claire, started the Couch Shed nearly 2 years ago. I had tried to do what you're doing. I had tried to do my own podcast. It was more or less like a monologue, just me. I just sat down and was like, I'll just talk about stuff that I've been through. Mm-hmm. And at the time, because I'd be very open in the industry about my mental health issues, et cetera, a lot of people would be contacting me saying, look, I'm feeling this way, or I'm feeling that way, or I think you should talk to so-and-so because he's not right, you know? So I kind of, by proxy, have been open about my mental health and I suppose having very public falls of my mental health. I was just someone that people contacted, and I saw a space that I was like, I can't keep taking these types of calls, you know, mm-hmm. because I'd end up on the phone for hours. And it's not that I don't mind helping, but it was starting to take a toll on me,
yeah.
You know, dealing with people who are suicidal and staying on the phone with them all night. The fallout for me was getting a bit too much. And then also I was talking to people who knew each other and were talking about the same thing. And I was kind of like, how come those two people aren't talking there? Why is it, you know? So the Couch Shed was just an idea. The easiest thing is just to set up a Facebook page and people can join. It's fully confidential and people can just talk on it. We just went for it and did it. I think we've a couple of hundred, anyway, five or 600 members now from all over the world.
Wow.
And it's 24/7. It's just straight up peer to peer support.
Okay.
We start seeing a lot of people. What's lovely to watch is someone join and be silent and sit in the background for a month or two, and then they might comment on someone else's thing, and then they'll go, actually, this is going on for me, and maybe that could be a Friday night, and then, you know, have a look at it over the weekend and come back to it on Monday, and you see that person going, thanks so much, so and so sat up me all night last night, this is great, and then they'll then, you know, start passing it on, you know, that way. So it's been surprising how well it worked. And I suppose it was needed.
When you were first discussing your mental health, did it feel stigmatized? Did it feel?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Really? I mean, okay.
Second time I was hospitalized, I was working for a company and they stopped the pay. I had a car with them. They took the car away and said, oh, well, I have mental issues. I shouldn't be driving. It's too dangerous, which was nonsense. You know, absolute nonsense. And then I got kind of a demotion and stuff like that. So we can't trust you. Like, well, I've had these issues for the last 10 years working with you, you know.
Okay.
It's just, unfortunately, I've come to a point now where I need to get help, you know. So in terms of that, there was stigma. You could hear sniggers, laughs, you know what I mean? I think everyone knew I'd gone into a facility. And you can hear sniggers and laughs and stuff. And I kind of had two choices. I was like, well, look, I need to deal with this. This is going to affect me and it affects how I interact with people. Dog. It affects how I interact with people and how I navigate this industry that I'm in. So it was easier for me just to come out and go, you know what? Yep, I'm bipolar. I was in hospital. Don't talk to me about it. Don't ask me something. That's fine. But I'm fine today. And, you know, there's no difference between Rowan or, mm-hmm. you know, just sometimes I get ill. I take medication. It was easier to do that than to do what I had been doing, which was hide it and navigate it myself and push myself into being okay when I wasn't okay. Mm-hmm. And then I suppose from there, it just snowballed into where I am now, which is extremely open about it. You know, okay. We do find in the cow shit that the more open we can talk about things, the more open people can see their peers talk about it. You know, what we'd hope is we created a space where people could talk because you weren't going to talk on the stage. And the cow shed is the size of the stage, you know, is what we call them. So we're kind of hoping, and we're seeing a little bit that people are bringing those conversations back off the Facebook page, back into the work environment, you know, where people are going, are you okay, man? You were on last night, you know, that way, but in a nice confidential way.
Okay. And are you getting, is there support? Because that's quite a big thing to manage your own health and be of support and such service to others. I mean, you know.
Yeah. So on the Facebook page, we have a few admins.
Okay.
So there's always someone kind of looking after it there. We have the Minding Creative Minds kindly given us access to their 24-hour helpline.
Great.
Which offers free counseling. So that's brilliant as well. Mm-hmm. We have a psychologist who kind of dips out of the page every now and then just to see, is there anything that we've missed, you know, and she's also available for us to contact her and go, look, we think this person's in crisis. We're going to get them onto MCM. So we have support there. Yeah, we run a series of talks called the Cowshed Talks as well, which are kind of interviews around mental health. So we do like Heads Up, which is my own, which is kind of a straight up one-on-one frank conversation, much like this. Mm-hmm. Ken Binley does Hidden Talents, which is kind of just about creatives in the industry and stuff. So between all of those, having all of those and having more people involved and people who've progressed in the Cowshed to go, you know, I'd actually have to help, which made me an admin, that I suppose the burden's a bit lighter.
That's amazing.
It's shared. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can relay, you know, hand the baton around to those.
Yeah. I mean, even when we set it up then it was like, okay, now the phone's not ringing, but now I have to be on Facebook all the time because if I miss something, someone will be sick and I'll miss it and something could happen. And again, it was kind of like, okay, no, I need to get admins in. So it was kind of a learning curve.
Okay.
You know, a huge learning curve. And even now, like, we're kind of halfway through redesigning the website to make it like a full wellness hub. And with that, it's kind of like every stone opens another universe. You're like, okay, we can't do everything at once. You know, you just dial it in, bring it back. But it's been a good year for stuff like that.
Okay.
There's lots of other groups have opened up.
And you find, let's say we mentioned a little while ago that, yeah, you see something as a red flag now, looking back in it, is that something you're able to hand on in these conversations, you know, that you're able to say, look, this is...
100%. Yeah. And I suppose that is what, you know, apart from the obvious, look, there's people here to help you and listen to you. A big thing on the Cowshed, we say, it's not just about war stories. You want to hear, you know, your experience, strength and hope.
Yeah.
You know, so certainly me and other people, because I haven't been through everything, you know.
Yeah.
We have enough people on there who are like, look, I've been through that. What you need to do is this, this, and this, you know. So it's kind of just gently guiding people. Yeah, but 100%. I mean, I can tell you I'm doing well now. Well, my hindsight is I can tell you all the things I did wrong, you know.
Yeah.
They're the better guide, really, you know, because when I was well, I was well, and it was well, and it was normal, it was grand, mm-hmm. you know. But the hindsight is certainly looking back, you know, I did 12 gigs in a row and had about 4 hours sleep. That's not good. You know, I wasn't eating properly. I wasn't getting out. You know, I worked on a movie just before shutdown in Limerick. And we were in at 6 a.m, kind of working till 9 p.m. I didn't see daylight, I think, for 2 or 3 months. Very little daylight. You know, it was darkest going in. And I was amazed. I was surprised and amazed how much it actually affected me.
Okay.
You know, I need to be out. For me, with my illness and my head, I need to get out. I need to be out. I need to be around water. I love swimming. I love walking. Mm-hmm. You know, I need to be outdoors. I need to be around nature. You know, it's good. It's good for me. It nourishes me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's great to land on those things in what some of the stuff that I'm uncovering recently. It feels kind of like being an adult and going,
it wasn't part of the deal.
because, you know, I'm still confused as to what being an adult is, but I have moments going, oh, I think that might be being an adult, that I understand, and I'm now a little bit more comfortable to say, that's not okay for me. That really affects me.
I think a lot of being an adult is like, I shouldn't be doing this at my age.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I have people who call me on my bullshit, which is really good. So I'll have people who call me on bullshit. I have people who know what I'm like when I'm sick, will know the pattern.
Okay.
You know, if I'm not answering the phone, or I'm around, or I'm sleeping really late in, or I'm up late at night, go, are you okay? Because that's a couple of nights now you haven't slept. And it's not in a I don't know what the word is. It's not like a Columbo thing where they're trying to trick me in. It's genuinely going, look, these are signs. And sometimes I don't see them, and sometimes it's normal. You know, and I have to try and not get annoyed. But look, I just stayed up late watching a movie. And then sometimes I know myself, I'm not feeling great. I'm a bit fast today, or, you know, I think I'm really down. And it's taken me a long, long, I mean, I got to my diagnosis. I'm 46 now, and my diagnosis when I was 20. Way down the road. And it's really only the last year that I'll actually email my doctor. I have a consultant psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. I'll email her out of the blue and say, look, I haven't slept the last few nights. I'm just putting the flag up, see how it goes, you know, and I'll come back to you, you know, and she'll come back to me then and say, how's it getting on, you know? So it's only really, I suppose, the last year that I've done a huge amount of work myself in the last year.
Amazing. Well done.
I was in hospital twice. Mm-hmm. I'm still on a trauma program. So I've done a lot of work on myself. And I suppose it's given me more, what's the word I'm looking for? I suppose I'm more aware of my ability to mind myself, mm-hmm. and I'm more able to mind myself. And I don't, I doubt my perception of my thoughts less.
I totally understand.
Before, I'd probably have a really negative, critical voice going, well, you're crap at that. Don't do that, do this, you know, and I'd listen to that. And I'd often manifest that in my interactions with people, I'd be brushed, and then it's kind of like, you don't need to, you're being annoyed at that person because they're calling on something that you've convinced yourself you're right, but you're not, you know. So there's a lot of humble pie, which is why I've put on so much weight. look, I don't think I'll ever reach a point where I'm not learning something new.
Well, hopefully not.
Yeah.
And I mean that with kindness, because if I ever reach a point where I'm not learning something new, let's just forget it, because, you know, that's, I think, what we're here for, isn't it? Is to explore and continually be curious and, you know, and it's not, you know, it doesn't always have to be just, you know, about like uncovering ourselves, but our mirroring in the world and where we are in the world. And, you know, it's... it just shows a curious mind and an open heart, I believe. So
yeah, and compassion, self-compassion, yeah, is really, really important, you know, and forgiveness, self-forgiveness as well. And being compassionate about your boundaries, you know, sometimes I should go, I'm not taking that call today, mm-hmm, or I'm not doing that today. I'm going to turn the phone off. I'm going out. And, you know, and I just need, you need to put those boundaries in. And it's not out of selfishness. It's just, I'm more aware of the days when I need to just sit with myself and sit with the quiet, mm-hmm, and not have an interaction that I know is probably not going to go right, because I'm not 100% in myself. Mm-hmm.
As you were speaking about emailing your consultant, and you know, even the concept of hindsight and looking back and red flags, the word accountability came up. And when I say accountability, I don't mean for yourself, but the idea for me, I would definitely work better with an accountability buddy.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Is that something that you think would have helped you, let's say, in your 20s or 30s? I don't know, but it's somebody to kind of just hold, you know.
Yeah, I mean, when I first started off, my consultant was quite an old school, he was a very objective psychiatrist who kind of sit back in his chair and just look at you for 20 minutes, you know, that kind of way. And it just didn't suit my personality at all, because I just go blah 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 and keep saying stuff until he either frowns or says get out. So it was kind of, I got very frustrated with it. Accountability is a huge issue. Yeah, I think you need to be accountable. I think you need to be accountable for, I need to be accountable for my words to others, my words to myself, and I need to be accountable in how I help myself. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, if I don't put my hand up and say I'm struggling here today, or do you know what, I don't accept that because that's not right, well, then I'm not accountable for myself. I'm not sure if that's exactly what you mean, but
Not really. It is, but I mean, accountability is massive, but we're not always able for ourselves. So I have this, and I think there's, you know, it's becoming big in America, of course, on, let's say, for exercise, but, you know, an accountability buddy. So somebody who you've literally had quite a serious conversation with, and they're either going to be your mirror or your accountability to, let's say, the friend who rings you to say, you haven't slept for two nights. I just need you to be aware of that.
I see what you mean.
Yeah, just, I wonder if people, not even, you know, struggling with mental, I mean, we all struggle in varying degrees with mental health, but just, you know, calling me out on my bullshit saying, Jenny, you've said for 2-3 months you're going to go back exercising. You need to go back. You know,
yeah,
it's that.
I think you mean, I have an accountability crowd. And I literally, you know, I think in many ways, like, purposely set it up. I was like, if I don't, you know, if I don't ring me, if I'm not where I say I am, if I'm not there, you know, yeah. I have a few, they're called spotters in the mental health industry, or the mental health field. And it's basically someone who knows your moves. You know, I say to my doctor, I'm not allowed to miss an appointment. If I miss an appointment, she will ring and 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 email and email and email. She called my dad. Should call, you know, my friend Dean, who's spotted for me. And that's just the way it is. And it's something that works well, mm-hmm, you know.
I think it's a great idea. I think, you know, I don't think it should be kept for you know, I think we all need spotters.
Yeah.
Because,
you just have that really good, true connection with someone, mm-hmm, where you can go, look, this is all of me. And I, you know, this is all of me. These are all the parts, the good and the bad. Mm-hmm. And to have that acceptance and the willingness to help, it's huge, because you feel supported no matter what. Mm.
Yeah, that's amazing. And the cowshed, what are your hopes for the cowshed? Do you want to grow it? What do you want to do with it?
At the moment, we'd love to grow it. When the website's done, whenever it gets done, we want to sort of open it up to all creators, and have people maybe set up their own little hubs. You might have a film, you know, DOP cowshed, or a lighting engineer cowshed as a little offshoot of the umbrella. I'd love to see it in other countries, if it was possible, that we're in talks with a few people, that we'd give people just the details of platform and stuff, for them to set up their own Facebook groups. So it'd be great if someone was touring in another country or away in another country, and they found themselves struggling, they could go on and go, hi, I'm in such a venue, blah, 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 and you might meet someone else who's in the cow shed in that country, you know. Mm-hmm. So we'd love, that's the big picture. I'd love to get into, you know, be able to charm out counsellors or have free counselling services. Now, MCM are covering a lot of that, but mm-hmm. at the moment, we're just trying to stick with the peer-to-peer, the support group, you know. That's I suppose we'd be kind of the cold face before we hand people on. I mean, we're not professional counsellors. We don't deal with that stuff at all. You know, immediately if someone says, look, you know, I'm feeling suicidal or something like that, we immediately pass them on to a counsellor, a trained counsellor. But I think our position at the cold face or the catch-all net is, I think it's important. Mm-hmm. It definitely serves a good purpose as it is. So I'd love to just grow the model we have bigger, as opposed to manoeuvring any into a charity or anything like that.
Yeah.
I think as kind of like a first responder, you know, we're kind of the people who put their jacket under you at the accident and just wait for the ambulance to stay with you.
Okay.
You know, that's a role that's not provided by a lot of places.
Yeah.
The information delivered by a lot of, like the HSE mental health website is a disaster. It's just text, and links. And people who are struggling can't, you know, they can't read sometimes, you know, they can't focus on that. So, you know, a lot of our work on the new website has been going into how do we deliver this information in a simple way? How do we deal with the most upset person? How does he see through the chaff to get to the wheat, you know, that way? It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, and it's a lot more thought in it. And it's good. It's been really good for me to take me kind of out of my own skin. And also it's been good for me to kind of really utilize and see some of the skills that I'm learning, to see them play out in other people and kind of go, all right, okay. And I get some learning off that. And I don't look at it that way. That's really interesting, you know? So there's always a give and take, but the main thing is just to be there, that to have a space where no matter where you are, what time it is, you can go on and you can find someone who may have been through exactly what you're going through, or maybe going through exactly what you're going through. And it's just a place to talk, you know, and it's a safe place where people can be themselves. You know, I don't think 2 years now, I've never heard anyone breach the confidentiality of it, or it be passed on or mentioned outwards, you know? So I think there's enough respect there for what we're trying to do for people.
I think that's really beautiful. I think, I feel when you mentioned it, I could immediately see it and feel it and understand it more. But that's a very beautiful idea. Even that you're the coat that goes under somebody in the first responder.
Well, you know, we always say, look, we can't carry you, but we can walk beside you.
Just talk
to us. We're here.
Yeah.
You know.
And as you say, the, you know, let's say HSE or all of these well-meaning, that feels it's too information, and I'm not speaking to somebody who is going through what I'm going through or can help directly.
Yeah.
That must feel very powerful for people to be able to.
I think it is. A lot of times someone will kind of go, look, how can I join? I'm like, of course you can join. Anyone can join. You know, it's no worries. And they go on and they're kind of sitting in the background, and I know they're there. And then they'll see the people who are there and who are regularly mentioned or talking and stuff like that. And they go, oh, okay, wow. You know, so we have people at all levels of, I hate to use the word hierarchy, but I suppose all different stages of professionalism and all different pay grades and all different, some people really highly respected, some people they'll see every day, some people who are new to the industry, you know, so that's, I think, where the peer comes in, because, you know, you might be having a really rough Friday night, and then on the Tuesday you're doing a gig and one or two people might come up to you and go, hey man, are you okay? You know, how are things? You know, so that's, we'd love to support you come back out.
Yes.
Spread out that way, you know.
And do you think, looking back at 20-year-old Rowan, you know, something, if something like this was available for you, as opposed to your austere therapist who didn't have any other training at the time?
Yeah, I think so. Mm. I think so. When I started in the industry, which was around the same time, there was, I suppose, things that were acceptable and just not talked about. It just wasn't talked about. Mm-hmm. You know, that's it. It wasn't talked about. You know, I went to a funeral 45 years ago now of a guy who committed suicide. in the industry. I had no idea he had mental health issues or addiction issues. I was sat at the funeral with about 600-700 people. And I was like, how did this happen? You know, how did no one here not know that this person was struggling, you know? And that's what it was. You weren't, and maybe I attached my own stigma to it, or I had attached my own stigma to it, but I definitely think now compared to then, I don't think that would happen with someone in that industry. I don't think, I'd hope it wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. Like, because people die, you know, there is a very serious side to this.
Yeah.
You know, no one should die for the price of the conversation. There's no reason why anyone should have to think, I can't talk about this to anyone. You know, I don't see the reason for that. And I've always said, if it takes me to be the open person, not that I'm a patron saint, I mean, it's not easy for me to be very open. You know, it often leaves me feeling very vulnerable, very exposed. But I owe it back is the way I look at it. I owe it back because of people who supported me when I was probably not the easiest person to support, you know, and people who stood by me and stuff like that. I owe it back. But definitely had there been, I mean, I was given, sent, oh, go to an NA meeting or go to AWARE, which is the AWARE. And they're great services, but it wasn't what I needed at the time. You know, I used to go to an aware group, and I think I was the youngest by about 30 years there, and they just tell the same stories, and it's kind of like there's no relevance here for me. And plus, it also takes a huge amount of courage to physically get in a car and drive to a meeting and walk into it and go, hi, I don't know anyone. Whereas Facebook is a little bit easier. You know, we found that it's a little bit easier in terms of people can join and sit in the background and see where they're going to fit in, you know, and they'll see, oh, there's humor here, and they'll get it. And then eventually they do start talking. And it usually takes about a month. Mm-hmm. And then people generally start opening up, and then they get an immediate response because they know there's a good comfort response there as it is, they've read it. So would it have helped me? Yeah, 100%. I say it would have taken me a lot to get on there, you know, a lot of pushing and stuff for me to get on there and be honest about it. But yeah, definitely.
It's just something I keep coming up with. And I was talking to a couple of ladies via this kind of podcast or conversations, and within myself, when I'm looking back at some flags or, you know, things within myself, and it's that classic scenario of, can you learn something, like, you know, when you look back, or the prospect of hindsight, and you look back and go, if I was to hand that rope to 20-year-old Jenny, to yank her through, would she be able to hold on to it? Would she understand it? Because there is a line in a children's book, or it is a children's book, you know, you can't go under it, you can't go over it, you've got to go through it.
Yeah.
And it's that awful thing of like, oh God. And as I'm rearing my kids, and I'm sure you have it with yours, you're just like, oh, if I could just cut some of that out. But you can't be told it, can you? You have to maybe go through it.
I think you have to experience. And I think it's very rare people learn in those moments. It's really, really grounded and open, you know. But if they were really grounded and open, they wouldn't be having those stupid decisions. I think the learning comes after, you know, and I think it is, you know, they say hindsight's no sight, but hindsight's where your learning is, you know, when you see stuff played out, and then you do it again, you play it out a different way, you go, oh, that worked much better when I didn't hit him on a chair. You know that way. definitely learning. I think the learning is, I think the experience is going through it. You know, I don't think there is a destination. I think you get better at things, or you're more able to manage things and do things as you move along. Certainly in my case, that's my experience, is that I learned. I'm a terrible person for learning the hard way, unfortunately. sometimes it can take years to learn. You know, and sometimes some lessons you pick up straight away. But like you said, you got to go through it, and everyone's got to go through it. I mean, I can't. I have two teenage kids now. And I know I can't protect them from everything. And I try and be not cool dad, but frank dad. You know, I've had my issues. And blah, blah, blah. You come to me about it. And I'm just like, no, don't you about that. I'd be like, yeah, but no, I really understand. He's like, I'm sure you are. I just don't want to talk to you about that. So there's a certain amount of kind of, you have to let people make their mistakes, you know. Yeah. If I could talk to 20 Will Roan, yeah, I'd probably say relax. Just chill out.
Relax. Yeah.
I dashed through life. Mm. You know, I was always, oh, okay, yeah, no, I'll do it. And I missed a lot. I missed a lot of stuff. I'd say, yeah, it's just a horrible Ferris Bueller show. Life's pretty fast. You need to look around, you know. Mm. I suppose that would be my advice. Be like, look, hold on. You're missing stuff here that's really good because you want to be the next step and the next step. But I'm very much a towards person. I always need to be towards something. Mm-hmm. I'm not good at sitting mm-hmm. in the moment and going observing around, you know. So it's taken me a long, long time to be able to sit with myself and kind of go, just sit. That's nice, you know, and sort of my face, you know, little small things. And again, a lot of it's living in the West where you appreciate silence and being able to be mm-hmm. as opposed to what's happening next. Mm-hmm. So I suppose that'd be my advice. Just, you know, enjoy the now, mm. you know, which I know everyone says it's a huge mindfulness. I'm not mindful at all. You know, I find it very hard to be mindful. I sound like I'm completely contradicting myself, but sure, I'm bipolar. I find it very hard. I mean, like if I could get, like I've tried meditate, if I can get 3 minutes, 4 minutes, without 45 thoughts, you know, about penguin's knees coming through my head, I'm doing good. I'm set for the day, you know?
Yeah. You're not on your own there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm great at telling people to meditate. Yeah, you should meditate. Go and meditate. Do you meditate?
What did I say? Not as I do. Yeah, meditate.
Page 35 of this book says it's amazing. I don't do it, but you can meditate.
I always used to love your husband as chief plate spinner. I was like, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. I'd be juggling at the same time.
Yeah.
Add more plates. That's enough.
Sure, I'll spin those as well. Just add them in. Well, thank you so much. For me, these are very continual, you know, because hindsight is not something you have just back when you're 20s or back when you're a teenager. Like I'm constantly looking back even at last year, last month, last whatever, for this learning process, for this like little catching my own patterns, catching myself, trying to be my own accountability buddy and calling myself.
Is that going for you?
She believes whatever I tell her. It's not easy. But I think it's that just these kind of maybe check-in conversations every now and then and let people, you know, folks will resonate here. And,
it's a great idea. It's a great idea. I was a little afraid coming into it. It's like hindsight. I'm scared about hindsight. Again. But it's something to think of. I mean, even just talking about the last year, and I haven't really sat and looked back at the last year because mm-hmm. I've just been like, because I'm kind of still in it all, you know. Mm. So yeah, it's interesting. So thank you.
Not at all. It is interesting. I find it very interesting. But as you say, you're a toward person. I'm definitely a toward person. But to little flag points or little moments to go, oh yeah, that happened again, and that happened. Oh yeah, look at that little pattern, and just it has helped me frame not the whole jigsaw piece for the picture, but it has helped me frame.
The corners,
yeah. It's just that all that mumbo jumbo in the middle that I'll probably leave sitting, like I did leave the real jigsaw at the start of lockdown. And, you know, eventually I was like, can we just put this away because nobody's doing the jigsaw? The dog had swiped most of it across with the tail across the floor, and there was bits of it in plant pots. I was like, all right, yeah. But no, I have the corners, and here's having, you know, let's have fun filling in the middle bit.
Yeah, and take little wins as well, you know.
Yeah.
It's important to have those little Kodak moments too, you know. We kind of say, oh, that's a red flag. I did that and I shouldn't have done that. But also to sit back and go, actually, I did that really well the other day. Or, you know, yesterday was a really good day.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've had looking back and I'm kind of going, oh my God, do you know what? I was great fucking crack. I'm great crack.
Like, you are great crack, Jenny. You are great crack.
But I didn't give myself enough credit for that over the years. Like, hell.
One day, I got tech clearance to tell your jumpsuit Portaloo story. I'll do it here. I like getting a bit of traction so I can back in.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was a beautiful moment. Yeah, that was adulting classes 101.
Oh yeah, there was a life lesson in that.
Life lesson in hindsight.
Right.
Do not wear.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and come find me over in Hindsight Conversations on Twitter and Instagram.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.